This WBEZ podcast is supported by The Auditorium, presenting Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater, April 24th through the 26th. Experience the power, passion, and athleticism under the direction of newly appointed artistic director, Alicia Graf Mack. Plus, five Chicago premieres showcasing the bold innovation and artistry that have made Alvin a global cultural treasure. Tickets at auditoriumtheater.org.
Nudia, I love talking to you every week. This is so great. What's up, Chicago? I'm Erin Allen, and this is The Rundown. It's Friday. It's Fri-yay. And that means we're talking to Vocalo's Nudia Hernandez. Hey, whoop, Nudia. Whoop.
Hello.
Today, we're going to hear from a group, a music group that went viral during lockdown of the pandemic.
The Panoramic.
Yes.
The Panda Express. Yeah.
Have you ever gone viral for something?
You know what? My videos have. I don't think I have.
Okay.
But my videos have. I mean, Vocalo posted one with Lee Crooks, the voice of the
CTA.
Lee Crooks. Yeah, that one almost has a million views on Instagram.
Wow.
So that is pretty, like,
that's,
I mean,
that's viral.
We thought it was going to be cute. We didn't know everyone in Chicago was going to be like, oh my gosh.
Nudia, that's one of my favorite interviews with you and Lee Crooks.
This is Lee Crooks, the voice of the CTA. And you're listening to Vocal Radio. See, I can't. Take two.
Yeah, it happens.
And for the record, for the person listening, I also interviewed Lee Crooks before Nudia. And then I listened to that one and I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like, this is a way more fun interview.
You know what's the worst part about that? I think I was sick too during that interview.
Oh, what?
And I could hear it in my voice if I listened to it again. Uh-huh. And it's so funny, like, doing what we do. Like, you're just like, I gotta pull through.
Yeah, it's the show Lee, must go on.
It's Lee freaking Crooks. Like, I was hyped. Like, that could have been like Prince to me, okay? I was like, I gotta be here.
Yes.
I was like, I have to be here for
so
Lee Crooks.
You're like, I'm a fan out here. Well, I'm in the presence of a viral radio star. I've never gone viral before.
I think people nowadays, they experience at least one of their videos going viral, but it doesn't mean what it used to. Just because one of your videos goes viral, that could just be it, you know?
Yeah, that's true. And then we never hear from you or of you again.
Yeah, like, so I think it's the consistency of, like, everything you're posting going viral. Like, I think that's what makes an influencer now.
Yeah. Your interview, the one that we're going to hear today, was with the musical group The Peachtree Rascals. Let's listen to their song that did go viral. It's called Mariposa.
I can't wait for you to come my way. I've been far away, but I'll keep running just to find a way to you till then.
For what it's worth, I don't remember ever having heard this song. I was not a part of the viral listens. But it also got used and replayed a lot, right? Like the audio.
Yeah, like 600,000 times or something. We were looking at it. But again, it went TikTok viral.
Okay.
I've heard of the song. Mm-hmm. And then when I saw that I followed them on Instagram. Then when I saw, you know, the tour dates and stuff, we should try to get them when they come to Chicago.
Yeah.
And then we were able to make it work. They had a show this past weekend and they came in before the show, which I always think is so nice of artists, because if I was an artist, I don't even know if I'd want to, you know, I'd be like, I need to rest or I need to prep.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was a really fun interview to do.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know that they were that funny. You know, all of their Instagrams and their TikToks, it's all about the music.
Oh.
But they're just genuinely funny dudes.
Yeah.
And it's like, I thought I was hanging out with like a couple of teenage high school boys. Like, they were just, you know, hugging each other, pretending to kiss each other. Like, they were so funny.
The bromance situation was so lovely to hear.
They were holding hands in the studio when that happened.
Yeah. So they're from the Bay Area in California, and most of the group also has parents that are immigrants. There are so many parts of the conversation that I love. What parts really stuck out to you?
I think that immigrant question was really important for me to ask, because I think a lot of the times the pressure is kind of on, you know, being a child of an immigrant and you want to make your parents proud, but then you have your passions. So I wanted to ask them that, like, when was it when you were like paying all your bills with your money music that they were like, okay, I see this is going somewhere, mm-hmm. you know? And so I think their parents kind of see it's all kind of working out for them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I have a couple homies whose parents are immigrants, who themselves are, you know, refugees and have been refugees, immigrants. And yeah, like the parents are like, all right, nurse, doctor. Mm-hmm. Engineer,
lawyer.
Yeah. And it's like some of them are in those fields, you know, and when they have expressed interest in deviating, it's like, are you going to be okay? You know, like you said, the pressure's on. So it's really nice to hear them talk about that. All right. So let's get into it. Here's Nudia's interview with three members of Peachtree Rascals.
We have the Peachtree Rascals in the building. Hello, guys.
Hello.
I mean, there's a few of you. If we want to do introductions really quick. Okay, who's everyone?
All right, so I'm Isaac. I'm the rapper of the group.
My name is Tariq. I sing and I songwrite and I dance.
I'm Dom. I'm the producer and I sing too, a little bit.
All right. Okay, so we love the song. And I mean, a lot of people loved it too. There's so many interesting parts about your guys' story. There's so many interesting things that I think are so 2024. Like things that could only happen in the 2020s. Really, they all kind of happened to you guys as a musical group. The most interesting thing that I kind of was looking at, and that's really different to our generation, is that when a song goes viral, like Mariposa has, hundreds of thousands of people use the audio. As of this month, 74 million views on the video on YouTube. And all this happened, the virality happened before you guys had even done a show. Mm-hmm. Did that feel like Monopoly money? Like during the pandemic, you know, like everyone was locked in. What did that feel like?
It was weird. We weren't active on TikTok at the time and the song was going crazy on TikTok. So we'd kind of get word of it and then go on TikTok specifically just to see the progress and how it's going. But I think the biggest difference between something blowing up during the pandemic and blowing up now is that we didn't have a chance to experience it live. And that's where the weirdness comes in.
But that was also cool that it happened to have its moment on TikTok because you get to see the people use the audio. So it's like for everyone being at home, it's kind of a gateway to see who's using it, who's listening to it, and how they're using the sound. So it was kind of cool middle ground. Like we don't get to go and perform for people, but we get to see like the faces of the people who are using the song. So it's, you know, look for the good moments in it. But we didn't get to experience the live part of it. So it was a little bit of a bummer. But we're here now.
That's true. No more pandemic. Mm-hmm. Is there a certain video that stands out to you guys of people that have used the audio, of fans that have reused it? Like, is there any video that you saw and you're like, oh, wow, like this kind of hits the feels a little bit?
Honestly, there isn't one specific one. It's just like the feeling of just seeing all the people using it and just dancing to it. And especially during the peak of COVID when people, like looking back at it, you don't really remember how tough of a time it was, but people were very lonely and eager to get out and have fun. So getting to see people smile to our songs and dance to our songs during a time like that, all together just felt really good.
And of course, the song is, I mean, it's very like lover boy. Are you guys lover boys? Do you consider yourself?
Yeah, we're lover boys.
Yeah. Literally every single one of us is in a committed relationship that spanned for over 2 years, 3 years. Mm-hmm. Like every single one of us.
Oh yeah, that's crazy. Now, is there, I will say, is there a difference between lover boys and simps?
Yes.
What's the difference?
I feel like a simp carries a connotation that's kind of pathetic. Like if you're simping over a girl, it's not a positive thing for you and your life, and it could negatively affect your progress as a human being. Whereas if you're a lover boy, you're just showing love to the person that you like the most. And you're doing things, going out of your way to make them happy while not losing track of your own progress.
I feel like I need to make that TikTok audio now. Like, right? Like,
I
mean,
I had never thought about that till now, though. So,
coming after the having something go viral, I feel like this is something we don't talk about either. Is there a need to make every other song go viral too after that? Like, is that, like, personally, like, how does that weigh on you? You're like, okay, this is a hit. Now we need to make another one.
In a way, every song we've ever made, we've had that feeling for. Even before Mariposa, we thought, like, Mango would be the one, or Summer would be the one, or Violet would be the one, Plus would be the one. Like, every song we release, every song we make in the studio, we feel like it has potential to have a moment as big as any other song. And, like, that's the kind of energy we always put into our music, and that's, like, the goal. But it was mainly after we started to gain some success, and then we had, like, more labels, agents, managers coming into our ears, and that's when that pressure and, like, the outside noises of wanting to get another hit, another Mariposa, like, that was what we heard. Like, you got to make another Mariposa, and then that kind of takes you out of the joy of having just fun and making the best music you can possibly make every single time. But we learn, we're able to experience that and figure out how to filter through all the noise and just get back to what we've been doing from the beginning. And I think that's going to give us the best chances of getting another Mariposa in terms of numbers. But every song we release, we feel like is another Mariposa.
Does your friendship give you guys something to fall back on when you have all this outside noise? Because you guys have been friends since high school, right? Mm-hmm. It's a while.
Friendship is like the number one foundation of everything we've ever done as a group, as a company, as a business, or whatever. Because if we were to break down every single thing that we've been through, positive or negative, because a lot of times success could drive people apart. A lot of times bad things can drive people apart. And I feel like many other groups, if they experienced what we experienced, they would have fallen off. Mm-hmm. As far as like friends, they would have stopped working, stopped being together. And I think the friendship that we established previous to making music as a group is what's held us together for this long.
Dom, how did you guys all meet? Were you guys all met in high school, and then someone was recruiting on Twitter? Is that when?
This man, George.
I kind of love that because it's so random. So what happened? Was everyone in class together, and is that, or just seeing each other around high school?
I had PE with Isaac, and we would like always team up against, I don't know, we kind of just like fell in love. It was like
we were the most athletic ones in the class.
I was gonna say, were y'all track stars? Like, were you guys y'all were running the 6 minute miles together?
Nah, he was the runner. He was the runner. I was a hooper. Go ahead, Tom.
Oh no, yeah, nothing. And we met in water polo, I feel like we got closer during water polo. It's like first time ever experienced something like that.
So romantic.
Yeah, I would just see him swimming around and.
You're like, that's going to be my guy.
That's my guy.
I love that. The bromances are real too, okay? Bromances are real romances. Coming on to now, you guys are doing shows. You're doing a show in Chicago. What has that been like to be on the road and to actually like be with your fans face to face?
It's amazing. It's like everything we ever hoped for. It took a while for it to happen. This is our first U.S. tour. We're doing 19 shows in 27 days. We have like
That's a lot. Are you guys going crazy a little bit? Like a little
driving?
Yeah, we're on the road.
No planes?
No planes.
Oh.
We started in Seattle and we've been driving since. But every show, like all the tiredness, all the driving, all the lack of sleep, none of that matters once it's showtime. And when we get on that stage and there's hundreds of people that paid their hard-earned money to come see us sing our songs.
Travel to see us.
Yeah, travel. There's some people who drive like 3, 4, 5, 6 hours just to come see us. There's no time for anything other than giving them the best show possible.
And you guys do have like really good reception with your fans, with like fan interaction. And is that like important to y'all to like be like, I want to be close to my fans?
For sure. Yeah. 100%.
That's everything. That connection lasts forever. So if we're able to establish that through a concert, we're trying our best to do that.
I did want to, you know, before I let you guys go get ready for a day, reading your story, when I said earlier when I started the interview, there are so many interesting things. I was reading that many of you guys in the group are children of immigrants. Mm-hmm. And, you know, having this discussion of feeling the need to be the perfect child in your family, Has it been difficult, maybe living up to the standards, or maybe your parents not understanding what you do?
I feel like in the beginning, because there's something scary about going into art as like your career, especially for immigrant parents who are the first to come to America to make sure you go to school and go to college and get a good job and have a good, clear safety net underneath you. In the very beginning, when I was talking about going into music, they're always supportive of what I want to do. But the second I told them that I was thinking about dropping out of college to pursue music full time and give it my full energy, that's when it got a little difficult and there's a disconnect, because that's like one of the main reasons they came here is for the college system to help set up the future. But once it started going good and the numbers started to back us up, that's when they were like, all right, like it's starting to work and it looks like you got it figured out. And yeah, just good communication and realizing like no matter how hard or how much of a disconnect there might be on the path, they just want what's best for you and want you to know that you're okay. And as long as you communicate that everything's okay and give everything your all, then it's all good.
Yeah. I mean, a huge part of the emotional part of that is like, or maturing, I should say, is understanding that at the end of the day, regardless of the frustrations, regardless of the conversations that you have with your parents, at the end of the day, they just want the best for you. And being a kid of an immigrant, of immigrants, you kind of know what they went through. It's like these people risk their life, they risk their freedom just to start a new life and a new family over here. So it's like the pressure is warranted and the pressure is completely valid. And it's just a matter of working hard, doing what you got to do, same way they did for themselves, and then making them proud. And that's it.
I love that. And shout out to San Jose. You guys are from San Jose. Shout out to the Bay Area.
Yeah, yeah. Bay Area.
Warriors.
And where can everyone follow you guys, find you guys?
At Peachtree Rascal.
No S.
No S, because...
Was it already taken?
Don't take it that way. Don't go that way. Just no S. He's true rascal.
He's true rascal.
That was Nudia Hernandez talking with the Peachtree Rascals. That was lovely, Nudia. Thank you.
Thank you.
To hear more interviews like this one, you can stream our sister station, Vocalo, at vocalo.org, or you can listen live on your radio at 91.1 FM. You can also catch Nudia in the afternoon live every weekday from 1 to 5 p.m. And that's it for today. Justin Bull, Sarah Stark, and I produce The Rundown. Ariel Van Cleve is our editor and executive producer. Our theme music is by Louis Weeks. The Rundown is produced by WBEZ Chicago and is a part of the NPR network. And a special shout out to Adora Namigade, Lisa Labis, Lauren Frost, Emily Seiberg, and Katie O'Connell for their work on our morning and afternoon news episodes. We also get help from Cassie Walker-Burke and Sophie Hernandez-Simeonidis and Dave Miska. I'm Erin Allen. Thank you for listening. Happy Friday. Happy weekend. I'll talk to you on Monday.